Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, Waters World is at it again at a Hillary rally, and it's great to see how stupid these Hillary supporters are and how bad it is. Also, an MSNBC reporter, Joy Reid, a host, is saying that illegal immigrants is a racial term. Well, they tried to come after Washington for the Redskins, saying that that was offensive, and that didn't work. Now, since they got nothing else to talk about, they got to go after illegal immigrants. Bill Clinton was getting standing ovations in 95 for saying everything Trump is saying, who's a racist and all this. I'll get into that with his visit to a black church. Some people praised, some people don't, and I'll get into all that. We need to fill the Democratic Party with all these Tea Party type people, because the liberal people that vote aren't going to know any different. They're just going to vote for whoever the liberal is. So, there you go. That problem solved. As long as they're supporting the Constitution, that is. Tim Kaine, the VP with Hillary Clinton, he was grilled on Sunday by ABC's Martha Radzin and over her email scandals, and with the fact that with these email scandals, more emails being released and her health and all this, shouldn't she even be running? I'll get into that. And will she even survive? Will it be the emails that is her demise or her health? Also, she hasn't had in 274 days one press conference. Barack Obama, he should have a bunch because he's the president. Trump has had 17. Why hasn't Hillary had any? I'll get into my speculations on that. And also, the nearing of the end of the seasons for NASCAR and IndyCar and what I think about that and much, much more. So, welcome. And if you don't know, segregation is back. And I'll also explain about that. So, welcome to the program that you're a part of. Psalms 16:11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Kind of think about that as you're listening to the program, and welcome. It's an amazing, it's been a great week, really has. But Waters World went to a Hillary Clinton rally. Okay, and like asking all these Hillary supporters, and they are dumber than a box of rocks. There was a post that actually gets done today that sums it up. You know, they could sit there and you could have Hillary Clinton video of them murdering some. She could murder someone and they'd still vote for her. They don't know any. They couldn't tell you the running mate. Oh, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton. What is she? Well, we need to have a woman in the White House. You know, I think it's time that we have, we need to have a woman there. You know, we really need a woman in the White House. I mean, it's time, we just need a woman. Okay, why do we need a woman? What policies? They can't name anything. They can't tell you what she supports, what she's, my whole point of this program, I guess, I want you to be educated. If you want to vote for Hillary Clinton, like I have a friend that loves her. I'm like, well, know what she stands for. Know how corrupt she is. Know how she's sitting there in a $12,000 Armani jacket saying she understands how I live, paycheck to paycheck. Really? I want to have $100 million and act like, oh, these greedy, evil Republicans. Look at all these CEOs, these greedy CEOs. These CEOs are greedy. Okay, where was your foundation down in Louisiana donating money to help? No, that foundation is nothing but a laundering, money laundering operation that you're getting away with. Because everyone's afraid they're going to kill. That's what it is. Welcome to a money laundering operation called the Hillary Clinton Foundation. If I did it, I'd be in prison. I'd be getting 30 years to life. But, you know, seriously, it's ridiculous. But I don't care if you vote for Hillary. Just know what she stands for. You know, if you support it, pretty much if you support anyone in government, then you fail history. Why did we come here to America? Well, we came here first off because we're trying to find a faster route to the West Indies to get black pepper. Because back in the day, some of you should know your history, you should know this. As a chef, I definitely know this because we studied food history. They thought that bad meat, all you had to do is alter the taste. If you coated that stuff in black pepper, guess what? The smell is gone. It's safe to eat. And they still do that to this day. 9 times out of 10, if you see a marinated chicken breast or pork or something in the grocery store that's packaged by them, it's probably past the expiration date and doesn't smell that great. And they're just trying to mask the to try to sell it. And pray to God no one dies from being bad tainted meat. Probably get in trouble for talking and saying that stuff, but that's facts. You know, I've had Mexicans that I've worked with in restaurants that will take shrimp that I wouldn't even go near when I used to eat shrimp and stuff. I'm a vegetarian now and I don't, but and they would just run water over it and put lemons in there, and as long as the smell was gone, they would eat it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. And the whole point of us coming, besides getting the black pepper, was when we found this land, it was to get away from the kings and the queens and the government controlling. Okay, this is what you have to worship. This is what you have to believe. This is, you have to pay a king's tax. You have to do this and that. Our forefathers came here to get away from all this government crap that people are lining up to get. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. Are they not teaching history? Seriously. I don't understand. If you wanna know where this stuff, look at the French Revolution. When you had kings and queens living like millionaires and everyone else starving, what do we do? Let's have a revolution. That's why they don't have kings and queens in there anymore, because people were tired of being a peasant having nothing to eat, and kings and queens in France were living like billionaires. Pretty soon people are gonna wake up and say, hey, you know what, enough's enough. I'm tired of having politicians making $100 million and having all that money, and here we are starving. I mean, it doesn't matter who was Trump in with France or Germany or North Korea or China or Russia, and who was involved in the leaks of these DNC emails. Who cares? Emails did everything in their power to make sure that Hillary Clinton got the nomination. Hillary Clinton's power hungry. And that's a scary thing, because if you saw one of her last rallies she was at, all she was doing was coughing like crazy. And there's actually a video, if you look very carefully, she coughed something up. What it is, we don't know. Just if you see that video, make sure you can handle it. It's not the most pleasant thing. And I say this as from one human being to the next, she should not be running for president. I believe she is really sick. I really do. Dr. Zhu basically came out and said, well, I believe she's getting third world treatment. Why isn't she on newer drugs? Why isn't she on newer statins? Why isn't she taking like warfarin or Xarelto? What's going on? Are they trying to cover up the fact that she's sick by giving her these third world drugs that they can, you know, go unnoticed. I mean, she seems to be getting worse, not better. And I don't know, from a concern point, will the emails break her, or will the health issue be the Achilles heel that ends her career? And I say that wholeheartedly. Because someone doesn't believe that she was sick for a while. And I don't know if he still might believe it. She's not sick, but I doubt it. But I'm like, she came out saying she had a blood clot. This is stuff that she released. It's not conspiracy. She has released stuff from her doctor saying, yes, I had a blood clot, this and that. Brian Vickers has had a blood clot. He very rarely races anymore because of it. He's had to give up things that he loves to do because of his health. It's stuff the media should be talking about, not like a negatively, but we believe she's truly sick. She should be getting the medical treatment she needs. They need to be saying, okay, we need to find a replacement for her ASAP. Out of concern for her health and her life. But then I guess, you know, the doctors told Neil Bonnet and his wife told him, you shouldn't drive, you shouldn't drive, you shouldn't drive. And he asked Dale Earnhardt, what would you do? I'd drive a race car. And of course, you know what happened. In 93, he didn't do NASCAR and sponsored by the Country Time Chevy Lumina. And in practice for qualifying for the Daytona 500, he had another, like, blackout epileptic seizure type thing behind the wheel and was killed. I mean, I don't agree with Hillary at all, but I don't want to see the paper saying, hey, you know, she has passed. There's a difference, folks. I don't agree with Bernie Sanders people. I don't agree with Hillary supporters, but I'm not going to try to steal their Hillary Clinton poster in their yard. There's a video of someone in Indianapolis trying to steal a Trump, like, Make America Great sign. He had a yard sign. I'm not going to do that. I may, as I drive by, going, are you kidding me? Someone can still support her? Lord help them. I may laugh at them, but I'm not going to take their... They have, just like I have the right to have this conversation, they should have... Kaepernick should have the right to say what he wants. You don't have to agree with him. It's surprising when I found out that his jersey is the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now. But I don't know how he can wear a Fidel Castro shirt talking about being... I don't know, like, he doesn't have... There's no freedom for him, you know. There's no opportunity, you know. Like we take, okay, well, Asians, you guys can have all the opportunity you want. We gotta put down the black person. You know, like he's oppressed. Unless, the only way I could say that is if he's saying, see this guy, he's an oppressor, I'm against him. But the shirt, the way he was wearing it, he didn't cross him out. It was like, you know, he's like proud to have a Fidel Castro shirt on. Talk about someone that's oppressing. Might as well have a Kim Jong-un shirt on. I'm against oppression. That's why I'm wearing a North Korean flag on my shirt. Doesn't make sense. I have a friend that has a Kaepernick jersey. He goes, I'll never wear it because I don't like him. I hate him now. But what I spent for it, I'm not going to get rid of it either because they're not cheap. You know, we should be able to have a difference of opinion. I should be able to have a Make America Great Trump thing in my yard or where I live without having the fear of someone going to, ooh, it only seems to be these liberal people that try to take conservative stuff and take it or hide it or throw it away or something. You don't see people like me going around and taking Hillary banners. I mean, I might put one next to it. I'm like, you really support her? Lord help you. I might put something like that. But... I don't know. Lord help me. And if liberals have nothing else to talk about, this will really get you. Joy Reid, a host on MSNBC, was going off when she was talking about how illegal immigrants is offensive and how you should stop using that word. And if I was on that show, I can't say what I would say because I am a host and I have ethics. I don't like to. There are certain things that radio hosts, whether you're on the actual radio or you're on the internet, I go by the radio host ethic codes, and there's things I will not say, and, you know, out of respect, but I would have said, naggers, please. You know, seriously. Like, you have nothing better to talk about. Oh, what? Excuse me, I would wish you would refrain from saying illegal immigrants. That's offensive. You need to stop that. It's offensive to me, really. Like, they tried to get rid of the Redskins, you know. And then when the majority of Native Americans came out in support of that use of the term, they didn't know what to do. I'm just wondering what they're going to try to, you know, what they're going to try to ban next. What next is going to be offensive? You know, I'd have told that lady, you just need to go ahead and call in your little safe space, get off the air, get into your diaper and go crawl into your safe space, you know. You not believe it, mommy? There was a guy I had to interview today, and he said illegal immigrants. You will not believe it. I was so offended, even though you're not an illegal immigrant. I mean, that's what they are. If a guy comes here from Russia, and he's an immigrant because he came here from Russia, and he's not here legally, that makes him illegal. That makes him an illegal immigrant. Call a spade a spade. Call an Islamic terrorist an Islamic terrorist. If she's a great Muslim, call her a great Muslim. But as you will all know, have 1,000 Nazi Germans. All you need is one of them to kill 1 million people, and the 99 that were peaceful didn't mean a thing. You know, but this trying to demonize every single solitary word they can think of. I'm offended by the word African-American because you're either African or American. You can't be both. And that really offends me. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand this world that they're trying to. Like, they've got nothing better to talk about or no real issue to talk about. I don't get it. I mean, Bill Clinton here in 1995 was like, we need to make the border more secure. Sounds like something Trump's saying, isn't it? We need to make it harder for illegals to get jobs because then they get all these benefits. And it's taking away and it's hurting the American taxpayer. Wait a minute. That sounds something like Trump saying now, but he's a racist for saying the same thing Bill Clinton was. We need to do this to help the American taxpayer because you're having people coming into this country using someone else's social security card, someone else's name, someone else's numbers, and screwing everybody. We need to do something to put an end to it. And guess what? Oh, he was standing ovations when he was talking about this in Congress and Senate, time and time again, standing ovations. Trump is a racist for doing the same thing. Like I always talk about, the double standard. There's a double standard in media, and it's ridiculous. Oh, there's no such thing as liberal bias, said the person that's liberal and biased. We need to have some fun. We need to take a bunch of these Tea Party people and put them in the Democratic Party. Because all these Democrats vote for, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. I'm voting for the Democrat. I don't care. I don't know anything. Well, if she gets elected, she said that she's going to put you in a concentration camp and you're going to be in the forced labor. I'm voting for her. I'm voting for the Democrat. They don't care. They don't know anything. There you go. These Tea Party people, all these, because then the liberal media will be kissing their butt for saying the same thing that they say on Fox News, but they get ridiculed for it. I wonder what they would do if Hillary Clinton was still talking about securing the border and putting up a wall and like she has in the past. I wonder what they would be saying about that. I wonder what they'd be saying if she was still against gay marriage. Because she was for many, 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 many years. Until she wanted their votes, just like the black people. You know, that's what blacks don't realize and Democrats don't realize. They'll tell you whatever they want you to hear just to get your vote. And they don't have to say much because most of you don't pay attention anyways. There's some people that believe the voting is a facade. It just gives you the illusion that every 4 years you can put someone in there that's going to do something different when the results are the same. You know, no one's doing a 180 and going backwards. Everyone's just... You may have someone going down this line slower. Someone may be going down this line faster, but no one's changing direction and saying, okay, we really need to do something. Trump seems like the first person that says, hey, I'm tired of the country as it has been. We need change. We need to do some drastic things. Well, Tim Kaine, the Democratic vice president under Hillary Clinton, was grilled by Martha, on ABC Sunday, and Martha Raddatz, and Lord, I'm like, this is awesome. He's like, they're supposed to be helping me, kissing my butt. What do I do? I don't know what to do. That's the way he looked. And I'm like, yeah, but at least seemed like they were trying to look like they're unbiased. And like, okay, if Hillary Clinton cannot identify a classified email, I didn't know drone strikes were classified. Well, why would they not be? You want to be able to tell anyone in the world the drone strikes we had, where our drones are, where they're being, where they're positioned, what they're doing? I mean, am I a freaking moron? I would think you wouldn't want the enemy to know, okay, we have drones here. We've done strikes here. We're doing, let's just tell the enemy what we're going to do here. This is our military battle plan. What you got here, you got Syria over here. We got tanks over here. We got anti-aircraft over here. We got missiles here. We just want you to know so you can go ahead and we're going to come up here. I mean, really? I didn't know that the email with the battle plans on it was classified. But that's how it... But she couldn't... There was a C. Well, I didn't know what that meant. Cookie. The C is for class. She had to ask people around her what this stuff meant. I know. That's my point. She doesn't care. But even if she didn't know what it meant, which she did... Is it her health? It's just scary. Because she seems clueless. Not like she cares. She's just power hungry. She just wants to come in and try to take your guns and try to take everything from you. She wants to raise the taxes. She wants to complain about the greedy wealthy when she is greedy and she is wealthy. But it was at least neat to see someone from ABC kind of going on, you know, kind of drilling Tim Kaine. Oh, well, the emails, as you see, you know, prove the point that she shouldn't have been, you know, there shouldn't have been any action taken. You know, they shouldn't have, when over half of America thinks that she should be facing some sort of legal accountability for this. Over half of America, they've said, why isn't she in some sort of legal trouble for this email scandal? There's about 43 minutes left in the program, folks, and I really want to thank you for tuning in and listening. It really it really means the world, and hope you get the word out about the program. And if you like it and you know anyone that might like it, have them tune in. Share the link. But she had 11 like Blackberries that they just took hammers and destroyed. And they, you know, she only had one device. It was easier to put it on this. She had 13 devices, 11 which were Blackberries. And that's been proven, but she's adamantly said, no, it was just on one non-secure server thing that I had stuff, that I did stuff. It's ridiculous. But she gets away with it. And then he's like, well, Trump's done stuff that got, you know, someone taken out of office and all this stuff. You know, well, he's working with Russia to have these emails come out and all this stuff. I'm like, and the content of the emails means nothing. Boo hoo. So who cares if Trump works with Russia to get these emails to come out? The emails prove that this is a rigged system, that the DNC did everything in their power to ensure Hillary got the nomination. It was rigged primaries. No one seems to care about that. They're just trying to lay blame on who actually released the emails, not what they contain. Ridiculous. I don't know. But like the other day, when Hillary was doing that speech, she was hacking and hacking and hacking and hacking. And I'm wondering if her health is going to give way, or if it, finally an email is going to come out that's just going to be like, sayonara, Sodom. Because I don't know why the WikiLeaks person hasn't just dropped it and said, here you go. Because he's had attacks on his life. He's had attempts on his life. And there's a lot of people that are saying, as I move on, that is Trump going to a black Detroit church the true Trump or a kiss-up? And in my experience, from what I know and what I've seen, that is the true Trump. I mean, point blank. He has his business. And when he's saying, well, I kind of support this, I kind of support that. And then he realizes, okay, this is affecting my company, my actual business. This is affecting my company. This is affecting my business. That's not a good thing. We need to change. We need to bring these jobs back to America. We need to do stuff. And he is like, I'm frustrated with all these people passing all these laws and money, but it's affecting my company and how I do business and how I can do business. It's ridiculous. But I when he went to that church and he gave that speech about, he's talking, and I believe from the heart, something that he does anyways. Before he was president, if there was no way to get someone to the hospital, he would have taken his plane and done it. He's a very generous man. He's not perfect. Has he screwed up and maybe take and screwed someone over? I'm sure who hasn't? What does the Bible say? He who hasn't sinned throws the first stone. No one's perfect. But it's just ridiculous when you have more people investigating Trump's past to try to find something they can dig up on him, more than they're going after Hillary. That's the problem I have. I thought we had freedom of press. Now, let's see how we can discredit the Democrat or Republican. No. It's not about journalism should be, hey, this is what I see. This is what I don't see. These are the facts as I see them. Is Hillary perfect? Far from it, but Trump isn't perfect either. Far from it. Like I say time and time again, how can you know your future if you don't know your past? How are you going to run a restaurant if you want to look at restaurants and who's past and who's failed and who's succeeded? Well, do you want to copy someone that's failed? Or you want to copy someone that's doing great and succeeding? And why are they doing it? And how can we put our adaptation on it? How can we have our own version of it? Because Trump in that black church was getting standing ovations. People are receiving him. I would love to see some of those anchors on those liberal stations, and they should be like NASCAR and have like jackets on them and stuff. I want to know who you're being paid by. You know, it's sad that people like me have to really get the word out, because there's no, it's hard to find real journalism anymore. It's not out there. This is what I call it like I see it, and a lot of it is, this is what I believe. This is what I think is going on. I mean, I do this myself. You know, I pay for this. I do all the research. I mean, I don't have a team of 500 people. I do this out of my heart because it's something I enjoy doing. And if it ever goes full time, it does. If it doesn't, oh well. You know, and if it went full time, I'd probably have more than just me doing all the research. But, you know, I always know I have my wife with me. That's always been a supporter. And just like, hey, I understand what you're doing. I get what you're trying to do. And, you know, and just give it to God. And that's what Trump wants to do. He wants to, you know, he wants to bring back your freedom to say, hey, if you want to worship, you can worship how you want to worship. I shouldn't feel like on the NFL field, a player shouldn't feel like if they kneel down and praise God, they're going to get ridiculed. But if they got the Quran, oh, they're going to be praised. But that's how it seems. That's how it seems. You know, if black lives really mattered, why weren't they down in Louisiana? Why are there crap loads of blacks killing blacks and no one seems to care about that? It's only the one or two times that a white cop kills a black person that they got to get their hair up their butt. Oh, well, that white cop that killed that black kid in Chicago, well, what about the 8 blacks that were killed by other blacks that same weekend? Why aren't you covering them? Are they not, you know, we shouldn't have any, you shouldn't have, everyone should matter. Remember, 9/11 is not too far away, 15 years ago. I've never forgotten, but then I lost someone that day. So, but. And I was almost there because I wanted to work in somewhere big, like a big town. And God had other plans for me. But my friend was going back home because that's where he's from. Like the culinary school is like, well, he's like, good luck because my home newspaper is the New York Times. So if you can get anything in there with me saying, because they have a thing that they put in the newspaper, I would love to see if mine's in good or what. Because I guess at the library they have microfiche. It'd be cool to see if I could find when they put mine. I would have no idea. I'd just know around the time that I went to culinary school, so I'd have to look like probably November and December to see when they would have done it. But it's like a Larry and Joanne Wolcott are proud to know that their son has been accepted to New England Culinary Institute or something. Because that's where I went to school. And so. And I still am friends with a lot of my students that I went to school with, and several chef instructors. And of course, they're still like, David Hale one time wrote me, he goes, because this is a true story. Got to have some fun on this. It's not all political on this show. But I'm sitting there one day, and of course, I was running late and didn't press my pants. And Hale was like, I don't think your pants look that pressed. Go up to where they have this, where the table service class for the chef's table, the fine dining restaurant, where like the students, we have like that's where we keep our books and stuff. And that's where you have like the meeting and you do the table service talks and stuff. And before you do like the wine tastings and stuff, before you do table service and all that. And that's where they have an iron and stuff. So you can iron your aprons and stuff. And I'm sitting there in my underwear, nothing else on. And I'm ironing, and David Hale in his infinite wisdom walks by and he goes, this is what happens, folks, when students come unprepared for class, like not ironing their pants. And I'm just like, I'm like, do I need to iron my underwear? I almost said that, but I didn't say that, but I almost did. Yeah, I know. David Hale would have went, yeah, but it's just amazing that it's hard to believe how long it's been since I've been to school and stuff. And we learned, as I move on, about all kinds of stuff. We learned about the history of food. You learned about, okay, this restaurant failed. Why did it fail? And you look into the why did it fail? What could they have done? You know, and they taught us about looking back to know where you're going forward. Okay, well, Papa Bud's Pizza tried this and it didn't work for him. I think it'd be a great idea. But then I will say this. When I worked at Mason American Grill, we did a hot dog on a pretzel bun with a cheese sauce on one side and a Mornay, which is a cheese sauce on one side. Then we did a mustard sauce on the other side. Hot dog, pretzel, we couldn't give that thing away. Here's $10. We'll give it to you. We'll give you $10 and we'll give you the hot dog on a pretzel bun. You can't give it away. We took it off the menu so fast because no one wanted it. We stopped making the pretzel buns because we made them from scratch, or our pastry chef did. Now you go to these restaurants, they got pretzel buns, hot dog buns that are pretzel. They have pretzel everything. They have little like wieners with pretzel, where they like to make like a pretzel and they wrap it around the hot dog, all this stuff. So sometimes if it doesn't succeed, like with us, someone else will take it. No, because it gets me so mad because everybody has pretzel buns and all this stuff on their menus and we couldn't even give them away. But, you know, but we learned that you got to know your history. And being a history buff, it's kind of cool learning about like the chef history and stuff. And you know that like back in the day, they would sit there, okay, they would give prisoners, okay, you eat this meat, and if you don't die, you're free. And that's how they would check meat to make sure it was safe. Imagine being in jail. Okay, well, if you eat this meat, you get to go. And you heard me talk about this at the beginning of the show. And yes, you heard me. Segregation is back. California State University debuts segregated housing for blacks. California State University, Los Angeles, recently debuted segregated housing for black students, a move intended to protect them from microaggressions. Welcome, segregation is now back. We have to have a safe space for black people called their own housing. Pretty soon we're going to have a safe space bathroom for them to use. We're going to have a safe space part of the restaurant where they can eat. We're going to have a safe space driving lane only blacks can drive on. Are you kidding me? And then they're saying, well, it's really pricey in this area for rent, and it will give an alternative for Black students, you know, a cheaper alternative for them to live. Oh, well, I guess whites pay more for the rent or whatever. You know, or whites can afford this. I mean, I'll apologize if there is actually housing for whites only that is, you know, budget friendly. I thought Barack Obama was going to end this. He was going to bring us together, not push us apart. Glenn Beck said this one time. He goes, well, at least we got Barack Obama. Maybe he'll be a cheerleader. I may not agree with what he's going to do, but maybe he'll be a cheerleader. Yeah, he's a cheer for change, not the right change. I never thought I would see, like, Black-only housing. Now, you try to have white-only housing, let me tell you, you'd be... Lord help you. That place would be burnt down. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't, it's just sick because this is not the country I grew up in. I didn't grow up in the civil rights era. What did Morgan Freeman say? You stop calling me a black man, I'll stop calling you a white man. I remember I told someone one time, this is no joke. I'm like, so how am I racist? Barack Obama's white. No, he's not. He's black. I said, no, he's not. His mother was white. So I can claim him just as much white as you can black because he's 50-50. He's carbon and Asian like Tiger Woods. Just like you can claim him because he's half black, I can claim him because he's half white. And he didn't know what to say because he knew his mom was white. But I'm just speechless. A segregated, okay, this is pretty soon you're going to have the white part of town. See, this is Chinatown. This is Church's Fried Chicken Town. This is where the blacks are. This is where the whites are. This is where the Asians are. We have a Latino town. Yeah, you can't. I don't get it. Because they got to have their safe space. Because they can't, because to protect them from microaggressions. As we move on, speaking of 9/11, there is a Muslim group in New York City calling for the city to remove the phrase Islamic terrorists from the memorial. Like that's ever going to happen. Let's just delete our history. They were the cause. Some people think it's an inside job, but call a spade a spade. If it's what it is, it's what it is. If you're an illegal immigrant, call it what it is. We need to start calling those people undocumented people from somewhere outside the United States who have no papers. I don't know if that's, undocumented might be offensive to someone that doesn't understand what a document means. I don't know. Who knows? Oh, my. I don't get it. I mean, screw Comedy Central. If I want to laugh, I just turn on MSNBC. And if you haven't heard this, effective immediately, Greta Van Susteren has left Fox News, and the reasons are not really known why, but she may be going after and suing her former boss, Fox News. And so that's all the news we have on that, because her and her husband aren't really saying much. So until that comes to be to fruition, they're not saying much, and they want to keep their mouth shut because, you know, there's possible litigation, you know. So until we, I don't know if it has to do with sexual harassment or what, but she said it's been several years since Fox News has felt like home, and she's been there 14 years. So it's just, I don't know. I loved watching her on the record, and it's just, and Brit Hume is taking over in the interim till the end of the elections, and he's just like, to, how am I going to follow in her footsteps? She's been so good. And it's just kind of sad to see a couple people at Fox News coming out saying, hey, this is not the Fox News I joined, I started, you know, so. About 13 minutes left in the program, folks, and I really, truly want you and thank you for tuning in. It means the world to have all you listening wherever you are, whether it's Washington, D.C., L.A., New York, Chicago. It's all cool. You know, we're one human being. We're one human race. You know, let's come together. Let's not segregate. Let's not have. And I bet you if I went to that, you know, I'd probably be afraid to go there. I'd be like, okay, and they're afraid. They're being segregated to keep them away from microaggressions. You know, okay, where's my AK-47? I'm afraid to go down this road. I don't know. Never been where this university is being talked about, but we need to come together as a nation, not separate and divide. And I really don't, and I'm going to hate to see the war on women that Hillary's going to do, just like Barack Obama has the war, you know. I mean, Barack Obama's done so much for race relations. I can't wait to see what Hillary's going to do if she becomes president based on, you know, sexism. You know, I don't get it. I really don't. You know, I like Trump because he seems like, hey, I understand where you're coming from. I own a business. I'm trying to every day work. And all these laws that kind of seemed good in the first place, now it's harder and harder and harder to do my job. Too many loopholes, too many things. You know, I don't care who you vote for, and I say that all the time, but know who you vote for. Know what they stand for. Don't just go out of blind. I just voted for Hillary Clinton. Well, what do you think of her running mate? Well, I think Mike Pence will do a great job. If you vote for Lisa, yeah, I think Tim Kaine's, and I don't really agree. I kind of voted for her just because I think Tim Kaine is someone that's going to really do a good job. You know, I wish he was the nominee, really. You know, I think he's going to do a great job as VP. And I think he's going to carry Hillary. Then I can say, okay. You know, at least you know the running mate, and you have some sort of knowledge. Yeah, this is why I feel the way I do. This is why I believe, you know. And you know what's going on. As we move on, folks. It's hard to believe, but me, one of my good friends at work, we've been talking about this a lot because there's about five of us at where I work that are huge, huge motorsports fans. You sit there and if you know NASCAR, you know what happened when Dale Jr. Went from Earnhardt Incorporated to, you guessed it, Hendrick Motorsports that stands, the stands full of peoples. It went from red to his new colors of the 88. It changed. He, along with Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon, are billionaires to that industry. It's like, okay, you know, it's like they are huge to that. Half of those fans, if not more, are junior fans. And they're going to lose a lot if he goes. I've heard speculation going back in the day that at the Daytona 500 in 2001, you know, that like the second race at Daytona, the Pepsi 400, that was set. You know, it was done. You know, we got to bring back the fan base. And, you know, and it was set up for him to win. Dale Jr. learning lessons from his father to go from sixth to first. And there's all this. I've seen websites where people talk about how it was all planned like that. You know, who knows? But he's not his dad. And I love the fact that at least hey, I'm not my dad. I am who I am. Because I remember when he goes, well, it's time for me to go to a team owner so I can start contending for championships. And I'm like, well, this is it. If he's as good as his dad, he's going to do something amazing. And the 1 year Hendrick Motorsports was 1, 2, 3, and Earnhardt was like 26th. And I like the guy. He's a great race car driver. And he's a great driver. And I love the fact that I am who I am. I'm not my dad. But I think when his dad was alive, I think he was a way better racer. I don't know if he has a hard time racing the demons, trying to be this great driver that his dad was with his dad not around to give him advice, like his dad always did. Because I remember watching him at Michigan at an IROC race, and they were like, dang, he's as good as his dad. He was incredible. Him and his dad finished, and he goes, well, I'm not going to let my son win that easy. He's got to earn the victory. And he recently said that, well, the doctors are saying this and this and this, and the doctors are telling me I'm having an issue, and the doctors are confirming I have an issue, and I am retiring, you know, I'm sitting out the rest of the season. And me and Rob and a friend at work, we think it's just, they're delaying him basically saying it's over, you know, because he's a cash crop. And I hope he can come back. I truly do. This is not a negative Nancy thing. I really hope he can come back, but I think he's postponing the inevitable. I don't think he will be back. If he becomes an announcer or something for the sport, I think it'd be great. But I think he's, as a driver, I think he's done. And he's not a spring chicken either. So it's not like he'd be like, he's 26 years old and he's like, I got to retire now. You know, he's not a spring chicken. You know, Brian Vickers has had to come to the reality that, hey, it's not worth it. If I do a race here or there, yeah, but to full time it, it's not worth the risk. As we move on to IndyCar, same kind of thing. Will Power, if he can race in 2 weeks, he's the only person that has the ability to catch Simon Pagenaud in the points. And I think if he wins the race and gets all the bonus points, Will Power, Simon Pagenaud has to finish sixth or better to win. Will Power is the only one that has the ability to win the championship. That's if he can race. If he can't, it's over. Simon Pagenaud, but he's been incredible. Simon Pagenaud has all season long. And that's what frustrates me. And I know I've talked about this several times. When the 100th anniversary of the 500, you can't get near it. But all the other races, heck, there are seats to be had anywhere. They can barely give them away. And then, I guess that's one reason why I love the 500. Don't get me wrong, but it's like when I'm, okay, so and I've said this before, I kind of feel like the 500, it's like that there's the IndyCar season, and then there's that 500 race. It's almost like doesn't mean anything in terms of the season as a whole. because so many drivers that are some passionate didn't do hardly anything at the 500, but almost every other race he was dominant. So many drivers, like Takuma Sato, was doing great 1 year. 500 didn't do that well at all. It's almost like it's its own entity. It's its own race. And it's like, okay, well, wow. You know, and it just kind of, I'm like, well, where are they in the points? And, you know, where's Will Power in the points? Or where is Sebastian Bourdais? And how's he doing? And this and that. And I got my paper out and I'm writing down stuff and looking at things. And half the people couldn't tell you, you know, who's who, what's what. It's the 500 and they're just there because it's the 500 and they don't follow the sport. They don't know anything. And, you know, because a couple years I've been around people that are just like, look, man, this is like my 30th beer in 5 minutes and they're completely drunk. And it's like, you know, and I'm there for the race and I'm there for the right reasons. And, but, you know, I think it's been a great, great season, but to have it come down to where Full Power with concussion issues can't race, Simon Pagenaud basically won it. But, you know, I hope that the one thing I didn't like is at the end of the race, there's like a couple crews outside his like Prevost RV, multi-million dollar RV. I'm like, okay, we're trying to get a hold of Will Power, but let him, when he's ready and the doctors have done their thing, give the man room. When he's ready to come out and say, hey, this is what they found, I'll know more in 3 days when I have a complete evaluation. But right now, you know, give the man space. I hate, okay, we got, you know, that's why I'd hate to, like Neil Peart, he's a drummer Rush. He just wants to go and be like everyone else. Granted, he's a big time drummer and everything. He just wants to be like everyone else. You know, give Will Power space. When he's ready to come out and say, hey, this is what's going on, I'm getting evaluated on Wednesday and I'll know more or whatever. When he's ready, let him. Don't try to, give him their space. You know, that's his home. Give him his privacy. Granted, it's at the racetrack and it's an RV and it's nice and just give him his privacy. That's what I hate when they're like, about 90 seconds left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all again for tuning in. And just, I got this other thing really quick, you know, that was like, you know, no matter who managed, like players may go, or is it like the players will change and the managers will change, but we will always be Man United. Words to live by, you know, win, lose, or draw. We'll always have different presidents. We'll always have different people in office. We're all Americans. We need to come together as a nation of Americans. Not a nation of divided people that are offended every 5 seconds by, well, he said illegal immigrants, so I'm offended. I'm offended because he said, he touched me, teacher. He touched me, so I'm offended. You know, we need to come together as a nation. Pull up our pants and do what our forefathers did and come together as one. I think we can do that. I really think we can. On the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next time, good night and goodbye. God bless.